Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and also along with my co-host, Elder David Clifton. And we thank God that we're able to be here one more time to bring none other than the grafted Word of God. James say that the Word is able to save your soul. So it's good for us to be here. We thank God. This is our last session for this month. How quick this year is going. The first month of the year is just about gone already. So what a blessing it is to be here. And we say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. We know that psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He have redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He brought us from the east and the west and the north and the south. And we didn't have no city to dwell in. So we thank God that we are in the church of God, like the Bible said, that God setteth the solitary in families. Mm-hmm. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And just before we get going good here, I just want to make sure I give the guest call-in number for those that are on Facebook. And our guest call-in number, and thank God for our friends, for all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Facebook friends, and the people of God all over the land, wherever our voices are heard. And I'd like to say that you are in tune to Truth Ministry. And our guest call-in number, should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, you could call us at 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So we're going to move on with our food for thought. Elder David Clifton, if he has a food for thought.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Just briefly want to read out of 1 John chapter number 2, just three verses. Beginning at 15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And if I could just add on to that, one of the things we see very prevalent now in churches is they're borrowing or they're transitioning or bringing things of the world into the services, into the church, and that's a big no-no in God's eyes. We should not be borrowing ideas or borrowing, any type of activities or performances that are done out in the world and try to bring them in to our churches and make them be a part of our services and think that God is accepting those things. When he told us not to love the world, he meant it. So we need to set the line straight, if you will, and we need to make a separation and keep that separation exactly what it is, and that's separate. Amen, Elder?
Amen. Yes, because that's the commission was to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And also to teach those, when you get them saved, the command of Matthew 28 and 20 says teaching them. So that a pastoral job, once they get in the church, pastor's job, along with whatever he designates in his local church to teach. So teaching after you get saved, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So we know nowadays they got this so-called, what they call illustrated sermons, which is nothing but a drama. So they're entertained. So the church has turned into an entertainment center. And like with one old pastor that's going on to be with the Lord, he had a saying one time during an altar call. He said, if you got to sing them to bring them, you got to sing them to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good point well made. This is, you're not coming to church to be entertained.
That's right.
That is, should not be your motive. But you come into church, like the Bible said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. But what he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So we want to have an audience with God. We want to hear what God has to say to us. Like they say, we pray to God, we give him our petition, and then also in the spoken word, when we read the word, God is talking to us,
mm-hmm.
and also the preaching of the word and the taught word, God is talking to us.
Amen.
So we should want to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church.
That's
so
right.
Not an entertainment center, and just so many different things we have to be careful for. But we're living in the last day, in the Laodicean age, and some people don't realize that, like Jesus said, that you're lukewarm. He said, I would that you were cold or hot,
yeah.
but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. So they're looking at all the things, just like one of the parables. People didn't come for what Jesus could do and who he was, but because of the benefit, because of the fishes and the loaves, as he said.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to have our motive. Got to be right. Our motive has to be right.
That's right.
And people are, and some shepherds are fleecing the flock too many times for money.
That's right.
Give, 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 give.
That's right.
I mean, they can't even come to prayer meeting without taking up an offering or receiving an offering, as they say. They're taking it. So it make you feel bad if you don't give.
That's right.
But we thank God for his word. And so just like we say, the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. And so Scripture will support Scripture. And that's why the writer said precept must be a prime precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So repetition is very important.
Amen.
So you do have the truth when it's rightly divided. So we thank God that we've been going through the first book of the Corinthians, one of the churches that Apostle Paul established himself. It wasn't like Rome, how he wanted to meet them and impart unto them some spiritual gift, but this church, he did establish himself. And so we ended up, we finished up the seventh chapter, so we're going to start off today in the eighth chapter and then try to move on to get into the ninth chapter, talking about Paul's apostleship.
Amen, amen. So beginning in the beginning of the eighth chapter, Paul starts out and he says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Goes on to say in verse number 4, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So Paul is starting off here, and one of the things that he lets them know from the get-go at the beginning of chapter number 8 is that knowledge is something that puffeth up, but charity is that which edifieth. And charity, which is also love, is one of the things that's mentioned, I do believe, over some 40 times in the New Testament, dealing with love. And it's a very important characteristic that Christians should have. And a lot of time what people will do is they will try to use their knowledge to show how wonderful they are, or to show, you know, how deep they are, how many revelations they are. They have, but, you know, they don't have any love. So what he's saying here is all your knowledge, that's not going to edify like charity or like love would. So then he goes on and they're asking a question. They have already asked Paul a question, and this is in response to if they should eat meats that were offered to idols. So he goes on and he's dealing with, amen, you know, idols, which are false gods, and pretty much what he's saying here is that we know that these idols, they are nothing. You know, these idols, they're you know, they're wood. They're made of wood. They can't see. They have eyes, they cannot see. Mouths, they cannot speak. Ears, they cannot hear. These idols are nothing in the world. We know that there is. We, the Christians, the true Christians, know that there is nothing but one God. So he's going to go on, and we'll get back into this beginning at verse number 7. He says, howbeit there is not in every man that that knowledge. For some with conscience and of the idol unto his hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commended us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Amen. So now he's dealing with, and what they were asking them, remember, you know, when we first began to talk about Corinthians, we were talking about how this was a city, this is a port city. So idolatry was very known in the land at this time. And one thing that they would do in idol worship is they would take a meat offering, and they would offer it or sacrifice it unto the idol gods. And usually this meat offering was separated in portions. One portion was offered up unto the idol, one portion was kept by the one that had brought the offering, and one portion was given to the high priest, if you will, in that service. And if the high priest didn't want it, what he would do is he would take it to the market and then sell it. So there was a lot of meat that had been offered up to false gods in this town. So now these Christians are asking them, you know, if we happen to come upon this meat, you know, and is it okay for us, Paul, to eat this meat, knowing that it had been offered up to false gods? And he's letting us know, but the meat committed us not to God, for neither if we eat it are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. So he's trying to get them to understand that it's not, you know, about the meat, amen, but some of these people, they didn't have the knowledge of this.
Right.
Their conscience, or they were young in Christ, so they were having a problem with this. So he goes on to say, but take heed lest by any means the liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through the knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So what he's saying here is if there were some that had the knowledge of God, and they were mature enough in Christ to know that it was okay for them to take this meat,
right,
because they weren't the ones offering it. But there were some other ones that were weak in their mind. What he's saying is, you know, they were unsure. They didn't think that it was okay.
Mm.
Now, if I'm a babe in Christ and you've been here for a while, and I come to your house and I see you're eating meat that I know that you got from the market from a false god, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, you know, Elder Cannon, you can't be doing this. This is going to be a stumbling block to me. It's going to confuse me. So Paul is saying, if you are you have this knowledge, you know this, but you know it's going to offend me, or it may cause me to fall, he's saying don't eat it in front of me. So it's something, and the reason that he dealt with this, as you can see, as concerning in verse number 4, therefore the eating of those things, they asked Paul this question, and that's what he's doing. He's dealing with a lot of things because he had to deal with this church. This was a very young church, and they had a lot of issues that they needed to be dealt with. So Paul, you know, primarily through this book, is he's going to go and deal with these things, and this is one of the problems that they were having. And you know, this is something that I'm not too familiar with in this day and age, but I've heard some of the saints of old, you know, say maybe when a woman comes in and she gets saved, you know, some of the old mothers that's been there for a while, they get that woman, as soon as she gets filled with the Holy Ghost, they pick her up and tell her, oh, now you can't wear these clothes no more, you got to take your earrings off, you got to take your makeup off, you know, they're trying to strip you all the way down and make you super sanctified right away, and that in itself could be a stumbling block to some younger saints. So we have to use wisdom and we have to use love in dealing with people sometimes so that we don't cause them to error in anything.
Right, and then we go back right, one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians 8:2, when he says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
But if any man love God, the same is known of him. So he's talking about the things offered unto idols and all. So the whole thing being is that we know that there is one God.
Yes.
So we know even like, say like some places, they worship cow,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so just because I eat a steak, I'm not worshiping a cow.
That's right.
You know, so you got to have knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And so that's not the reason why we may eat beef, be it a hamburger, be it a pot roast or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you just got to be careful. So as, like he said, if we think that we know anything, we know nothing yet as we ought to know. So in other words, when we eat, and things that we do, we're not offering it unto idols.
Amen.
And so that's the whole key thing right there. People try to sometimes make a mountain out of a molehill. Are you doing this because this and because that? And then some people think because they don't eat meat. But the Bible lets us know, literally, some things, when he's saying meat, he's talking about your lifestyle and your fellowship and all in the 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. But here he's literally talking about this.
Yes.
He's addressing this city about this. But I want to, Apostle Paul made it plain about people in the last days, the things that they're going to do. Talking about in the 4th chapter that the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat,
mm-hmm.
which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving.
That's right.
For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key right there. Well, you got to have knowledge. You want to be puffed up. You don't know what's going on. So if some people don't eat meat and they say, you know, people that, I forget what they call the term, not just vegetarians, but it's another term.
Vegans.
Yeah.
Vegans.
Yeah. People that don't eat anything but vegetables and things that grow out of the earth. They don't eat anything that, you know, animal-wise, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible said every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused.
Amen.
You know, if it be received with thanksgiving, you said it's sanctified by the word of God
mm-hmm.
and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the most important thing. So you got to know. So just because you can't eat a pork chop,
mm-hmm.
maybe somebody else can.
Amen.
You shouldn't eat pork. Some people have high blood. They don't eat pork, period.
That's right.
And, you know,
It's for health reasons.
Right. They can't put that teaching or that doctrine on someone else. You know, then some people may. I know of people that don't eat red meat, but they eat fish, they eat chicken.
Mm-hmm.
That's still meat. Some people look at, you know, those are foul. That's scavenger.
Uh-huh.
You know, so even on last night when the president made mention about the process of salmon, I didn't realize it had all them different processes that they go through, and it's under a banner of different levels of government as it does
uh-huh.
when it goes through that process. So we can see here. So we know what's going on, so we don't eat meat
uh-huh.
sacrificing to an idol, be it chicken, fish, or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
We eat food to sustain us.
That's right.
And, you know, in life.
And, you know, and he also told, you know, in the book of Colossians, he told him, let no man, therefore, judge you
right.
in meat or in drink
mm-hmm.
or in respect of any holy day
mm-hmm.
or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days,
right.
which are shadow things to come, but the body is of Christ. So, again, he deals with that because that's something, especially the Jews had to deal with it. If we remember when the Lord called Peter to go visit Cornelius in that vision,
mm-hmm.
You know, he told him, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But because it was an animal that the Jews saw as unclean, because in the Old Testament there were certain species of animals they couldn't eat,
right.
Peter had an issue with that. But the Lord told him, don't call anything that I made clean or unclean.
Right.
So, you know, we're past those days, and that's
mm-hmm.
the point. That's what he was telling them, and that's what we have to understand, that we're past those days of, you know, not as, you know, being able to eat certain things because of our beliefs. So, you know, in Christianity, there is no standards on certain foods like other religions have that you cannot eat.
Right.
It's an animal that God created.
Exactly.
And as long as you receive it with thanksgiving and you know that it was God that helped you and provided you with that food and you acknowledge that, you're fine. Amen.
Right. And that's the same way with some people don't eat them. They don't eat animal flesh, as they call it. And even somebody had some kind of doctrine out there trying to act like if you were drinking milk, you were drinking a cow's blood. And so I had to tell one of my in-laws, I said, that's foolishness. People have been eating, even the Bible talk about milk and all of that. I mean, God made people drink milk way back, and even breast milk. And so what's the difference? I mean, breast milk and cow's milk, that is not... Breast milk is not the mother's blood, neither is cow milk
Amen.
The mother's blood. I mean, so some people can get off and far-fetched, you know, way off. God is a wise God. But in Colossians 2:8, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit
mm-hmm.
after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so, just like he said, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Just like we were saying on last week, your heart is circumcised by the sword of the Spirit, and not a Jew, the outward circumcision in the flesh, but that of the heart, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, and go on down to verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward and involuntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So we can see, just like he made going on here, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, and knit together, increase it with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So we see, like, a lot of those, all of that stuff he put away in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he tore down that middle wall of partition.
Amen.
So that's the problem with the Jews. They never accepted Jesus, the nation of Israel, as the Messiah.
That's right.
That's why they go into that well and wall and wait and weeping.
Uh-huh.
They don't realize that he's already come.
That's right.
Just like he said. So they didn't accept him, the whole nation, as the Messiah, as the Christ, or as the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing like getting understanding. That's what the scripture says in Proverbs. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And he said, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So that's what we have to do, is get an understanding of what's going on here. So this is why the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the church. He wanted to address the church so they could get an understanding with this thing called meat, and that how they had to be careful. They didn't want to offend their brother in Christ
mm-hmm.
with their while the world standeth, they won't eat meat while the world standeth, if it's going to make my brother to offend.
Amen.
So, in other words, be wise what you do.
Amen.
So.
You know, going off into chapter number 9, now here Paul, we're going to see Paul kind of put his foot down if you will, you know, to correct some of the naysayers, if you will. So in chapter number 9, he starts off and says, am I not an apostle? Question. Am I not free? Question. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? And I know, you know, just stopping there briefly, this is an issue that we've dealt with before as far as, you know, people carrying the title of apostle or you know, trying to solidify their apostleship in Christ. But Paul says something here that I'd like to bring out, and it was that, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And the answer is, yes, he has seen him.
Yeah.
Now, we know that while Jesus was on the earth walking, amen, Paul was still then running around and persecuting and killing the Christians. So the question then would come up, well, when did Paul see Jesus? And even beyond that, one of the things that we say that will solidify a person's apostleship is they have to have been taught directly by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is going to solidify this, and through right division, we know that Paul dealt with this same issue, and he brought it up in the book of Galatians. I do believe it's in the first chapter. He deals with him seeing Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start in the first chapter around verse number 11. He says,
mm-hmm.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse number 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So again, that's before you know, Paul had his encounter with Christ, and this was, you know, while Christ was on the earth, Paul was persecuting them. Verse number 14, he says, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So now he's dealing with, you know, when he had the encounter with Christ, when the light came and blinded him for 3 days, and he cried out and said, Lord, who art thou? And as Elder Cannon likes to remind us that he responded, he said, this is Jehovah.
Mm.
Amen. So Paul, at that point in time, revealed who it was. And in verse number 16, he said, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred, not with the flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Here's the key. He says, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. What others of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. So it was at that time that Paul was led out to Arabia, and that he was taught personally by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, one of the ways that we can solidify, amen, the apostleship of Paul.
Right, and then also he talks about it. We're going to get to it later on, but we're going to fast forward to the 15th chapter when he was talking about how the fourth verse, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time.
That's right.
So just like we said, he had to be an eyewitness. He had to be taught by him.
Mm-hmm.
And
of the Lord himself, and then their job was to lay the foundation and to write the New Testament scriptures.
Amen.
So this is why he came on the scene and said, "Other the foundation's already laid. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Foundation was already laid, and you're building upon the foundation that was already laid."
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't get it. It shows you how ignorant people are nowadays of trying to claim the office of apostle. Because not only that, then they died horrible deaths too.
That's right.
And Lord appointed, showed them how only one didn't die was John, a horrible death, but he still was tortured. He was tormented in that boiling that oil or whatever.
Amen.
Before he got put in the Isle of Patmos. So why you should only want to be in the place where God would put you.
That's right.
God knows what church is already established. Apostles already have done their jobs, laid the foundation, opened up the door.
Mm-hmm.
So all we got to do is to build upon the foundation that they have already laid.
Amen.
And believe the word and the scriptures. God has already laid the way out. And this is why the Apostle Paul is coming to address this church to the Corinthians in the manner that he is.
And, you know, and even furthermore, we don't have the time to really deal with it, but even with dealing with, the new city, Jerusalem, in the book of the Revelation, how it deals with that city having 12 foundations,
those 12 foundations and those names, that's
dealing with the 12 apostles. And each apostle is supposed to be identified with one of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
And even Paul deals with that, how he traces himself back to, I do believe it's the tribe of Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of mysteries, if you will, that are locked up in the scriptures that God will reveal to certain individuals. But again, like you said, there's a lot of qualification that one has to meet in order to call himself an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was, this question was raised, and, it says that he vindicates his apostleship where he proves it. But, I wonder why we're not doing this nowadays. Maybe
people
just don't have the backbone to do it.
Right.
Or
folks are scared. I don't understand. They don't want to offend. But now, if I'm off, I'd rather be rebuked now than to miss the rapture.
That's right.
That's going to be a shame,
Right.
I'd rather, if I'm off now, let me know. If you love me, correct me now.
That's
what the Bible said. Whom the Lord loveth, he corrected. He scourged every son whom he receiveth. Talk about our fathers of our flesh, how they done that. And Apostle Paul, who was a Hebrew writer, when he says, if we be not without a chastisement, then are we bastards and not sons.
Uh-huh.
So rebuke me now if I'm off. If I'm off, tell me.
That's right.
Show me I'm off.
That's right.
That's what people are afraid. I don't understand. They don't have the boldness that they should have. Like, even like when Moses died and the Lord told Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. You got to be courageous. Even today, to preach this gospel.
Amen, amen. So going on, chapter number 9, verse number 7, he says, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are ye not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Amen. And I'll start right there. Elder Kennedy, you have
See, what that's talking about is the tithe and all, that he can take the finances necessarily for his living.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Apostle Paul was a tent maker.
Amen.
And he was saying that he didn't.
He could have taken that liberty to live up the gospel, but he chose not to. That's why he said, I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, and the necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. So the point being, just like he said, he going back here in the law of Moses, talking about the law here, don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen?
Mm-hmm.
And so the man of God is the man that's got to eat to bring the food, the spiritual food, to the people of God.
Amen.
So they say if he's in the marketplace, tied up with the job, he can't do that.
That's right.
So that's why he said saith that he had all together for our sakes. Our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. We have sown unto you spiritual things, talking about God's word.
That's right.
Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal thing?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about money.
That's right.
And that's what he's saying.
So, you know, and some people take issue with pastors and churches having a salary.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, they may be having these issues with no knowledge of the word of God.
Right.
You know, most of the pastors, at least in the PAOW, are not only licensed, but they are ordained.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things, as you would know, as an ordained minister, is your ministry will be full time. And if you are full time in ministry, that's not going to leave you any time to go punch the clock 9 to 5.
Right.
Well, then if I'm not doing that, well, you know, some men draw retirement. But retirement is not the same as me going to work 40 hours a week. That's why
right.
a lot of retired people go back and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Point being, If the man of God is laboring in prayer and he's laboring and studying and reading the word to help you spiritually so that you can grow, this brother has to survive. He needs food. He
right.
needs something to drink. He needs somewhere to live. He needs clothes.
Right.
Who's going to take care of this brother? And that is the church's responsibility. Now, there are limitations, I do believe, and I do believe that some of these preachers that we see on the television, they take this and they make the church look bad by some of the things that they're doing with the money or some of the ways that they're flaunting it. You know, I do believe that you have to be modest, if you will, in some of the things that you do. There's no sense of me having 4 or 5, you know, cars that are all $100,000 plus when some of my members may not have one reliable vehicle.
Right, they're catching the bug.
Yeah, so the point being is that, yes, if the man of God, if the pastor is requiring to take some type of salary, if he is right in doing that. There's some that don't, that don't take a salary. But for those that want to do such, as he said, does God take care for the oxen? And the answer is yes. So we should take care of the man or the woman of God that is feeding us spiritually, and that is by our finances. That is one of the reasons that tithes and offerings are taken. It is to support the ministry.
Right.
You know, when you go into church, you have lights. When you hit the light switch, in the wintertime you have heat, in the summer you have air. You know, when you're feeling real good and you're crying, and the ushers come pass you tissue, where do you think all this stuff is coming from?
Right.
It's supported by the tithe payers and by those that give offerings. So you know, we have to understand that the church is not a marketplace. It's not a pimp place where the pastor come in and should be taking everybody's money and, you know, living a life. What you see on TV is not always what is being portrayed in the scriptures. Amen?
Right. And then not only that, everybody gives and pay tithes.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the pastor.
That's right.
Everyone pays 10% in a free will offering.
Amen.
So it's everything is the same there.
Amen. What verse did we leave off at? I'll just pick back up at 15.
Yeah.
Amen. He says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if I against my will and dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Again, I'll say, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may abuse not my power in the gospel. And on the flip side, something that I have seen and experienced is a lot of times when you want to bring an outside speaker to your church, and yes, some of these people have contracts that they want you to sign, and they want a certain amount of money, and they want you to set them up, you know, a special kind of water, and they want fruit and strawberries, grapes, and all these things. You should not be charging anyone for the gospel. These pastors that are receiving a salary, they're not charging you, but you're taking care of them because they are working for your soul's sake. But to tell someone that, yes, I'll come preach for you, but you need to give me, you know, a certain amount of money, you're asking for the money up front and you're making them sign a contract, you shouldn't be charging for the gospel. The gospel is free. Now, after you come and you preach and the church takes up an offer for you, that is acceptable. But we shouldn't be charging, amen, for people to come. As you were saying earlier, this is not entertainment. The preaching of the word is not entertainment. This is not a concert. There should be no cover charge. The church shouldn't be struggling having fundraisers or whatever to try to get this well-known preacher to come to their church. Amen.
Right, right. Say, because God knows. God will put it on the people's heart. He knows your need, what you're in need of. So I don't think it should. You can't show me in the scriptures where they should have. Some people want a set amount of money, or they're not coming.
Amen.
And that's not right. That's not God's way.
Amen.
So it's just like you said, freely you have received, freely give.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you should not set a price on it. There's no negotiating or none of that as far as the gospel. But the workman the laborer is worthy of his reward.
That's right.
So God knows what you need.
Amen, amen. And continuing on, verse number 19, he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery and temperate in all things, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bringeth it into subjection, least that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Amen. So, you know, he's talking about, becoming weak or becoming a Jew so that he could win some. And this is not, as some people say, that you have to reach them. So, you know, if you want to get the younger generation, you have to dress like the younger generation and be hip-hop. This is not what he's dealing with here. Some people will try to take this and apply it to that. That's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is very wise in what he's doing. Amen. So he understood some of these things. He understood the law. He understood those that were under the law, trying to live under the law, because he was a Jew himself. He could explain those things. He understood those that were not living by the law. He understood those that were without, because he wasn't taking a salary. So a lot of times it just takes you to understand people. A lot of times it takes you to put yourself in people's place, if you will, so that you can, as he said, win souls. And that's what it should be all about, is that you can gain or so that you can win souls. Then he goes on to talk about the race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. For every man striveth for the mystery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, which means that it's something that will pass away.
Right.
He says, but we an incorruptible crown. So Paul is talking about he's working for rewards that are not of this world.
Right.
He's talking about the rewards to come, the rewards that are going to come with Christ. And that is why he's laboring, because he understands and he sees those things. And that's what the men and women of God should be doing. They should be ministering for souls, and they should be ministering that they may please God and get God's rewards. It's not about getting things from man, because if you do all that and man is praising you and you're getting your rewards from man here on earth, then that is going to be your reward. That's what you're working for. We need to be working for the incorruptible things. Amen?
Right. So, yeah, that's what he's saying. So he knew how the Jews were, being a Jew, and he was a Roman citizen. So all these things he could be able to help people. And yet for all of that, even during his time, even like King Agrippa said that he was beside himself, you know, that he was mad.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, persuaded me to be a Christian, you know, King Agrippa. So said, we're together, you are almost as like I am, except these bonds, that you're not bound. So he's saying here, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So in other words, he could empathize with them.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the law. He could relate to them, let them know. But some people still would not humble themselves to accept it. And so he was saying that he did it for the gospel's sake, that he might be partaker thereof with them. So, and he gives an analogy here that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. I can kind of relate to that. I ran the Free Press International Marathon, and everybody who finishes the marathon gets a medal.
Okay.
You're all a winner. But one person is going to be the winner who's going to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how that ended up going. So he was saying that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. So whatever we get, just like the Bible says, the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
That's right.
So that never changes. So then he was saying, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So in other words, I know what I'm doing. So what we're doing, we're serving God in our body and our spirit, which are God's, just like you say, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that's the lesson that some people need to listen to nowadays, what he's talking about here, because people are doing all kinds of things, and they're thinking because they haven't got caught that it's okay, but it's not okay. So God's got a prescribed way for us to live. Like I said to some, I said, what makes us Christianity more different than other religions? And I said, our morality. That's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
We got to live holy. That's why the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we can't just live any kind of a way.
That's right.
And so some people are doing a lot of hooping and hollering and carrying on, and they don't even know. I mean, the Lord said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. But we do see in the Revelation 3 and 20, he got put out. He said, I'm standing at the door knocking.
Uh-huh.
If any man hear my voice and open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me.
That's right.
So God is not leaving folks, but folks are leaving God. And that's what the scripture says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith,
mm-hmm.
giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. He didn't say they'd leave the building. He said they would leave the faith.
That's right.
So they, and you hear, like the writer, proverbial writer, says the backslider in heart.
Mm.
So that starts in your heart.
Yeah.
So
So you got to keep your heart. That's why in Proverbs 4:23 he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
That's right.
So you got to watch your heart. Like people be saying, your mouth. No, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
That's right.
The mouth says what's in the heart.
Amen.
By our words we're justified, by our words we're condemned.
Right.
So, and so a lot of people, things that they're doing, they're going to be exposed. And I mean, thank God for exposure, because I'd rather be shamed now if I'm off, that to be shook back to reality.
Amen.
Instead of the Lord come, you're going to be right here.
Amen.
That's going to be horrible.
And,
I mean,
and you know, that's one thing that I think that love will drive us to do, is to help our brother if they are in error.
Yeah, I pray. That's my prayer. Lord, manifest your word. Uncover everyone that's a hypocrite. Uncover them.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you so much, he don't want you to be lost.
That's right.
And like we say, we don't want you, if you're not living right, we're not talking about people got a fault and all of that. We're all struggling
mm-hmm.
as far as that goes. We're talking about people deliberately living in sin.
That's right.
Hypocritical. Like the Bible say, it said, he that keepeth not his commandments is a liar.
That's right.
He, think about it. When you the word is truth when it's rightly divided. Says you don't keep his commandments, James says, if you don't keep it, and the epistle, first epistle of John, that you a liar. Okay? One of the commandments is thou shalt not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
A person that's in adultery, they're a liar.
Yeah.
Because they're lying. They fooling somebody doing what they're doing.
That's right.
Yeah, they don't care.
That's right.
And so the Bible is God is not playing with nobody. I mean, God hates, the Bible says that a hope of a hypocrite will perish.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be wanting to do, we should be wanting to do those things
right.
which are pleasing in his sight.
That's right.
And who you got to say, God's coming back to redeem our soul.
Amen.
But in the meantime, you're serving God in your spirit and in your body, like the writer said, which are God's. So this is where people are going to see us at, is in our bodies. So we want to do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And so this is what it's all about. You got to bring your body into subjection, and no matter who you are.
That's
right. I was trying to find that.
And you have to understand, you know, again, when we're dealing with the race, you know, why would you enter into a race and you're not really serious about the reward? I mean, if you're over here and you're walking with God, and the ultimate reward is obviously to see him face to face and to live with him in eternity, you know, there's a lot of requirements. There's a lot of sacrifices that one has to make in running this race. And my thing is why, you know, as the world says, perpetrate. If you're not going to be fully in it, just get out of the race. Just stop instead of, you know, continuing, like you said, in sin. And there is a difference between having faults and, you know, someone committing a sin here, committing a sin there, and he that sinneth, which is to continue
practicing sin.
Mm-hmm. sin, which God forbids. And a lot of times, you know, God may not show that thing right away. He's permitting, or he's giving that person a chance to come clean. But after a while, God will do something to reveal that sin, and that's something that you don't want to happen. But even if it does get revealed, you know, what Elder Kennedy is saying here is get it right. He's giving you a chance to get it right. Don't just stay in it after people have found you out, and that's what's going on, you know. There's instances that I've heard of in the past couple of years where people have been caught and they still try to keep it as secret, you know, as possible. And God is not with that, you know. My goal and my ultimate plan is to receive, you know, those crowns, you know, that Paul is talking about. And if I mess up, if I go astray somewhere and you know that and you see me, you know, help me out. And I have to be in a position, you know, myself, where I'm not so high-minded that I'm not going to receive anything from you. That's another problem that we have. And even Paul himself, he never
put himself in a position to where he was so high-minded, he was so puffed up, if you will, that he wouldn't, you know, receive anything from anybody. He humbled himself in a lot of instances, as we just read in our latter verses, amen, of chapter 9, where he became, you know, like you said, he became weak, that he may gain men.
Right.
So, you know, again, the man of God has to be wise in what he does. The man of God also has to put himself in a position, amen, that he can also be taught if he needs to be taught. You know, that's another reason that church government is involved. You know, if the board of bishops have to come to you for any reason to sit you down and talk to you, you can't say, well, I'm a bishop. You can't tell me anything. I'm a bishop. Well, I understand you carry that title, but you are yet still a man, and you don't know everything.
Right.
Amen. So we have to also put ourselves in a position where we can be corrected if we fall in error. Amen.
Right. Yeah. So that's, you know, not the point of sometimes people think because they have gotten away, you could get away for a while, but you're not going to get by.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sense in fooling. So to me, that's an insult to God, because you're not believing in the invisible God who's all omniscient and omnipotent, has all power, and omnipresent, who's everywhere in every place. I mean, he sees everything.
That's right.
And it ain't, we think, oh, he knows, you know, I'm struggling, and his mercy endureth forever. No, that don't work like that. I mean, we can't be, we're covering up stuff if we are hiding things. Some stuff, even in the world, people know. They're not going to, folks who got a girlfriend on the side or whatever, they ain't telling their wife they got a girlfriend.
No.
That's a secret. You know, I mean, come on. And so you can't, even the same as you are a thief or a robber, you're living a double life,
mm-hmm.
You're a liar.
That's right.
You can't do that. So over here is different.
Amen.
We don't do that.
Amen.
You know, we want to, and that's why Apostle Paul said, keep it under my body. So in other words, my body, the things that I do, I'm going to give account for the deeds that are done in my body. That's what this is all about. And I'm going to bring it to subjection. Lest by any means, I preach to others, I don't want to be a castaway. So think about it. There's people that can help others to make it to heaven, and they don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they say, don't do as I do, do as I say do.
I say.
No. I do as I say do too.
You should.
Because I'm just a vessel that is being used by God.
Amen.
So I don't want to be. You got to be out of your mind. You want to help people to righteousness, and people to be saved, and you be lost. That makes no sense.
That would be a sad state, brother.
Yeah. That'd be like working and starving to death, won't eat. Just like you say, you planting the vineyard and all that, aren't you going to be a partaker of it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's for you, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That makes no sense for you not to think that it is for you.
Amen.
Yeah, so the good and the bad. We don't want to take that, no. Said if we don't, you know, we could be beaten with many stripes. We knew his will, and we didn't do his will. So we want to do, just like they say, you should be wanting to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. As a child of God, you want to please God with what you have.
Amen.
So we thank God. So next week we're going to get into the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You got anything you want to say?
Amen.
Right,
I ask you all to tune in, because we're going to see some of the types and shadows that were in the Old Testament that's going to be brought out here in the New in chapter number 10, and dealing with baptism and of water and of the Spirit. So tune in next week. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah. Very important what's going to be coming up next week. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness.
God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.